And good morning to everybody. If you turn your Bibles to John chapter 1, we have been in a series, this is our third message, preaching about the Son of God and salvation in Him. You know, a lot of people in this world called Christianity want to describe a salvation that involves Jesus only to a point, and the rest is all up to us. But God doesn't explain or define in His Word anything like that. In fact, He tells us that Jesus is everything we need. He tells us that His blood forgives our sins eternally. He tells us He takes our sins, not just the past or present, but also all of our sins, and casts them as far as the east is from the west, as deep in the sea as they can go, so they'll never be found again. God did not send His only begotten Son to this world to die at the hands of wicked people and Satan to be a partial savior. He came to seek and to save them that was lost. Only them that's lost. People get mad at limited atonement. God never says all people will ever be saved. People misread things and take it out of context, because they want to pick scriptures here, pick scriptures there, and they want to put them together and make a complete doctrine out of them, condemning our Savior. You say, they don't condemn Him. Sure they do. If you do not recognize Jesus Christ as the Savior of mankind, then He's nothing. I mean, I can come over to your land and build you a barn, and I can get half of it done and leave until you finish it yourself. Right? Same thing, isn't it? Jesus comes and does half of it, or a quarter of it, and three quarters, whatever, and He just leaves. He doesn't come back. Amen. He doesn't finish the job. He doesn't finish the work of seeking and saving those that are lost. Does Father send Him here to do? It doesn't make sense to me. Nothing they believe makes sense to me. And then you got some that believes that baptism is just as important as the blood of Jesus. Say, well, the Bible says it. The Bible doesn't say that. Water does not wash away our sins. I don't care who baptizes you. And surely not a bunch of heathen that don't even understand the Word of God. I'm going to read a couple scriptures from our original text and then go right into John 1. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 3 and 4 and 5 and 6, he says, but in those sacrifices there were remembrance again made of sin every year. For it is not impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. It is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Therefore, when He cometh into the world, He says, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me. A burnt offering and sacrifices for sin thou had no pleasure. Verse 11, every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. And we'll finish out with verse 12. But this, after he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down on the right hand of God. Now go over to the book of John. John chapter 1. I love John 1, and I was studying John 1 for a message I want to preach at an upcoming Bible conference. When I got on this message, it's not the same message, it's a different message, but it comes out of John chapter 1 here. When I was looking at this, and I thought, wow, look what the Lord has just showed me. In John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus wasn't just with God, he is God. Verse 2, the same, that is the same, the Word, was in the beginning with God, when everything was created. When God said, create the earth, and there's nothing but darkness, and it was void, and nothing but water on it. And the Holy Spirit went across it. Jesus was there. Before heaven was created, Jesus was there. Verse 3, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Drop down to verse 10, if you will. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. The world knew him not. That's okay. They don't know God either, do they? I mean, you can hear people talk and say the stupidest things about God. I'm sorry, the most ignorant things about God. I guess stupid is I shouldn't use. I'm trying to get straighten up my language. I'm talking dirty. Ignorance of God on this earth is horrible. I heard Harrison Ford say one of the stupidest, I mean, most ignorant statements I've heard a long time since John Denver, and that is that nature is God. Nature and God are the same. John Denver said the trees, nature was God. God owns nature. God controls nature. But God isn't nature. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So the world was made, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, the world knew him not. Verse 11, he came unto his own received him not. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time we have together. Thank you, Lord, for those that are here. Pray for those that are not here. We do pray, Lord, for all those on our prayer list. Pray that your blessings will be upon their services today. May everything said and done this day may bring glory and honor to you and our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the time we have together this morning. We pray for, Lord, for the message that we have. We'll feed your sheep and others that need to be fed these things. And, Lord, we just pray that you will use it as you please because it's your word, your message. We know, Lord, it will not return void because it's yours. Thank you, Lord, for our sister churches and their pastors. Thank you, Lord, for those that are without pastors. We pray for them. Pray also, Lord, for our missionaries all over the world. Pray for the mission works all over the world. Pray, Lord, for those Christians that do without all over the world. And, Lord, we pray for your graceful hand to be with them all. Be with those that are on prayer list this day. And we pray, Lord, because we know you know each and every one of them because you know all things. We know, Lord, you already know the response you will have to them, but we still pray for them. And, Lord, we pray most of all for those that may not know Jesus Christ. Something will cause their heart, like the Holy Spirit, to come to know Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for this time we have together. Keep us safe from the evils of the world. We praise your name for all that's accomplished. For us in Jesus' glorious name we pray. Amen. I forgot to turn this on. Okay. A lot of that our Facebook people might not have heard so much, but we'll see. So we go to John 1, and we're looking at Jesus Christ, either a Savior or a partial Savior. He's the Son of God, folks. God does nothing partial. God ordains, he plans, He predestinates, and he sees it all through. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11. Go ahead and read it. Ephesians chapter 1. The whole chapter. Read it. God doesn't do anything. Known unto God are all his works from the foundation of the world. So God didn't send us a Savior that only had a little bit of effect. He sent us a Savior. God chose his own Son that was formed in the body womb of Mary, a virgin at the time, and caused her to be impregnated, and she had a son, and the angel said to name him Jesus. Emmanuel. Meaning God with us. Because it's God's son, isn't he? Sent here. With a plan and purpose, not for his own self, not for his own will, but for the will of the Father. And you know what? That was his will. See, Jesus didn't come against his will. He came to do his Father's will. That's what we ought to do as Christians. So many today fail. So many churches fail. We're children of God. Likened to God's own dear Son. So we find pastors and churches and Christians that meet every Sunday and call themselves Christians, call themselves churches, that don't believe in the Savior. That's not born again. Well, how do you know that? Because if you don't believe in the Savior, you're not born again. God said, he that believeth on the Son hath eternal life. He that don't, doesn't. So anyone who doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is their Savior isn't saved. Not a part-time Savior. Not one came to help us, but one came to save us. Nothing we can do can save ourselves. Think about it. I've said it 100 times, I'll say it again. Any person who thinks they're saved by their works is lying to themselves. If we were sinners before salvation and we're sinners after salvation, then what makes us think that our sins before our salvation and sins after our salvation is any different? If we could be lost again, we would be. But we can't. Because those that believe have eternal life. All their sins have been washed away. That's the difference. Mine's been cleansed fully and wholly. Theirs hasn't. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, verse 11 says. Jesus. Rejected. By whom? At the time, by the Jews. They hated him. Why was Jesus crucified? Because he was the Son of God that came to seek and to save. He was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That was God's will for him. To come and bear our sins on that cross. To shed his blood to cleanse our sins. Jesus is the Son that pleased God. That pleased his Father. I find so many Christians today that ought to be pleasing their Father, and they refuse to. It don't do any good to tell people. They're not listening. It doesn't do any good to post on Facebook. They're not listening. It doesn't do any good to preach about it. They're not listening. The only way it's going to make a difference, if God makes them see the light, the same as he did when they were saved. Otherwise, they're going to keep on failing and failing and failing and failing, all this time falling away from the truth of God's word. He wasn't recognized as Son of God. He wasn't recognized as Savior. But he was. Like the old centurion said, after Jesus was crucified, he said, Oh my, we might just crucify the Lord. He did. But even the Jews, even the ones that were God's chosen nation in the Old Testament, ones that God dealt with so preciously in the Old Testament, the ones that understood the scriptures and failed to do them, Israel as a nation has never truly pleased God. Oh, a lot of Jews did. Yes, David did, Abraham did, Isaac did. A lot did. A lot still do. Oh, but the vast majority do not. They used Jesus as a prop over in Israel, over in the Holy Land, as we call it, to make billions of dollars of revenue off the name of Jesus. I've never been there. I'd love to go sometime. I've never been there. But I promise you this, it isn't free. Nothing's free. I don't have to be there to know that, because I know that greed runs everywhere. Isaiah wrote chapter 53. He wrote so much in Isaiah 53. And others wrote so much in their books in the Old Testament to define Jesus, to let people know that he was Jesus. Every prophecy, every one of them, just loads and loads and loads of prophecy about Jesus were all fulfilled in the New Testament. Every one of them. Drop down to verse 14, if you will. And let's be careful, because we're going to notice a few things in verse 14. And the Word, who's the Word? The Word is God, isn't he? Huh? He was with God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, in creation. In the beginning. And beyond creation. And the Word was made flesh. And dwelt among us. Then the explanation of that, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. That's what he is. That's what flesh being, the Word being made flesh is his glory. The glory of the Father was amongst us. Amen. Full of grace and truth. He was full of grace and truth. But notice the Word made and the Word's made flesh. The Word was made flesh. The word made means to cause to be or to become. That is to come into being, to be made flesh. In other words, it refers to a beginning, doesn't it? A second beginning. The first beginning was before creation, when God created heaven, his heaven, the third heaven, they call them, the earth, everything that exists in the earth. the heavens or the nest, which is all of the stars, sun, moon, galaxies, all of that other up there. That was the first beginning. God didn't ever have a beginning, did he? No, he's eternal, isn't he? The first beginning we know about is creation of the earth. The second beginning is when the Son comes to this earth, Jesus. It refers, the word made refers to the beginning. But notice the scripture does not declare him to become light. This will be part of my message down in Oakdale. The scriptures does not declare that he become light, does it? Or that he became life. But he did become human, didn't he? Now people always ask, when you debate this false doctrine of evolution against creation, well, where did God get life? He didn't get life anywhere. He always existed with life. And then you turn around and you ask them where life came from, and they don't have an answer. They can't explain themselves. The Bible explains it all, doesn't it? Yes, it does. Where did Adam get his life? From God. God formed a human body out of dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. That's the first form of life we ever knew about outside of God. Let me ask you this. This church knows it because I've mentioned it several times already. Go back to Genesis 1. We're not going there. Yeah, let's go there. Let's go back to Genesis 1. Verse 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created the heaven, that's his kingdom, and the earth. That's what God created. We don't know when heaven was created, we just know that he created heaven, his place, and the earth. We know that God created both, don't we? And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit of God, moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Where did light come from? Came from God. He is light. He's not a light. He didn't ever get light. He is light. Light came from him. God lit it up. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness, and he called it night and day, and called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and morning were the first day. First day. First day, God created the heavens, or the heaven, the third heaven. And God created the earth, and God gave light to the earth, and he separated them, didn't he? And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from waters. And God made the firmament divide the waters, and there was under the firmament which the waters which were above the firmament, and it was also so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and morning was the second day. And God said, let the waters be under the heavens, and gather together unto one place. and let that dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and gathered together of the waters, called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, and yield her and herb yielding seed, and the fruit of the trees yielding fruit, and of this kind, and whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. Let's skip down, because I don't read all this. Let's skip down to verse 15. Okay, let's go back to 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament and the heavens to divide the day and night, and let them be yield signs for the seasons, for the days and years. And let them bring forth lights in the firmament of the heaven and give light upon the earth. So God made two great lights, the greater to rule the day and the lesser to rule the night. He made the stars also. But the light, original light, came from God. Why? Because he's light, isn't he? My father-in-law used to call it the Shekinah glory of God. I don't know where he got that name. I don't know if it's original. I don't know if it come from somewhere. He might have picked it. I've searched for it and never found it. But I just call it the glory of God. God is a spirit, and everywhere he is, it's bright. His power and energy control the sun. It powers the sun. It gives us the light of day. It burns us up if we get too close. It's hot. The energy comes from God. Everything comes from God. So he is light. Jesus brings to us that light, doesn't he? He also brings to us life, doesn't he? He didn't become these things. He was already these things. He had them back in creation, didn't he? But he did become human, and since the Word of God was and is God, he became flesh and dwelt among us. Full of grace and truth, the Lord said. Go back to Hebrews 10, if you will. Our original text for all this. I just hate to read the original text over and over every week, so I skip down after 2 weeks. But Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1 through 14 was our original text. God is not only just light and life. I love this. He's also redemption. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10, by the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ, listen, once and for all. There is no second Jesus. There's only one. He came. He lived his life. He gave his life. He was buried. He rose again on the third day by the power of the Holy Spirit out of the grave. Walked on this earth again with a new glorified body. Was seen of more than 500 people. And ascended up into the heaven where he sits on the right hand of the Father on high. To be sanctified, because he says, by the which we are sanctified. The word sanctified means, as Christians, we have been made holy. Adam was created upright. He wasn't created absolute perfect or absolute without any. He was created without sin. If he's created perfect, he never would have sinned, right? People want to debate whether or not Jesus could have sinned. Anybody that says that Jesus could have sinned doesn't know Jesus. Amen. God can't sin. It absolutely cannot happen. It's impossible. And Jesus is God. He could not have sinned. Adam was born with the ability to sin and fall, and he did. But we're created through Jesus upright again, without sin, holy. Say, I sin, I do too. But Jesus died for my sins. They're washed away. It's hard for us to recognize that sometimes, isn't it? I mean, really, it is. We have to ask ourselves sometimes, why does the Father put up with us? He doesn't tolerate sin. Sin's an abomination to him. One word, Jesus. Jesus has made us holy. Jesus has made us where we don't sin. Father doesn't see our sins. Our sins have been paid for. It's hard to understand, isn't it? Say, well, Father will chasten us and chastise us and give us a rod of iron if we go out and sin. No, the Father does that because we're disobeying His word. Amen. We're out of step with His word. God's not going to punish Jesus and us too for our sin. No, it is not going to happen that way. Otherwise, God hasn't forgiven our sins, has He? Why would He punish for something? That's like my child coming to me and saying, Daddy, I went out and done something I shouldn't have done, and I whipped him, and come back 3 days later and whipped him again for it. Why would I give him double punishment? He's already been punished. Jesus was punished for our sins. Whether we recognize it or not, whether we want to see it or not, we're holy, sanctified, cleansed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Hebrews chapter 2. Trying to see where I'm at here. Verse 11. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. I'm not alone. We're all the same, aren't we? We're all the same, aren't we? Jesus redeemed us all, did He not? Everybody that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation has been redeemed the same. We're all the same. I'm the same as you, and you're the same as me. We're all children of God. We're all church members. What happens in our life is all relevant to what we are. We're children of God, and nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. He said in verse 11 of Hebrews chapter 2, for both he that sanctifieth and they that are sanctified are all one. One Savior. One sacrifice. One blood. One Savior. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Jesus, the Son of God, is not ashamed to call us brethren. And the way we are, aren't we? I'm not going to say, stand up here and say we're equal with Jesus. We're certainly not. He's the Son of God. But we're adopted children of God, aren't we? We're brothers with Christ. Joint heirs with Christ. Amen. And he's not ashamed of us. Why would he be? He died and gave his blood on that cross for our sin. God calls us children, does he not? He calls us sons, does he not? We are all one. I'm sorry, all of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call us brethren. Jesus Christ is the Christian's victory. You want to know why I love victory in Jesus so much? That's it. He is our victory. He's my victory. He's your victory. He's our eternal salvation. Sanctified through the offering of the body once and for all. Look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. Colossians 2, verse 10. And you are complete in him. We're what? What are we? We are complete in him. Complete. You know what the word complete means? I mean, I can't say this is a complete church and leave Ronnie Sr. out. Then it's not complete, is it? No, he's a member, isn't he? He's part of this body, isn't he? I'm sorry, Ronnie, I'll use you for example. I didn't bring you to get mad. We're not a complete church if we're not complete. And you are complete in him, in Christ, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom you are also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. You know what that means? Okay. The word circumcised means a cutting away, doesn't it? Lord cut you out. You remember as children we used to cut people out of the papers? You've been cut out from the world. You've been set aside to be holy in Christ. You've been set aside by God to be his child forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Mm-hmm. Cutting away without hands. Don't mean nobody took a knife or scissors and cut. Means God cut you out. God took you. And God sanctified you. He set you aside to be his holy children. In Christ Jesus. And putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Christ cut our sins out. How? By Christ. By his death, his birth, death, burial, resurrection. He cut them out, took them away. Set them aside, threw them so far as the east is from the west. So far in the sea, they'll never be found again. Father, don't ever want to be seeing them again. See, God can't forgive something if he doesn't forget it. If I hurt my wife's feelings, and I do that quite often, and I ask her for forgiveness, and she says, okay, I'll forgive you. And 2 days later, she brings it up again. A week later, she brings it up again. A month later, a year later, she keeps bringing it up. She hasn't really forgiven it, has she? Because she keeps recognizing it. She keeps bringing it up. I ain't saying she does that. I'm just saying this, using it as a figure here, as an example. See, God doesn't bring our sins back up, any of them. Where they were committed before we became Christians or after we became Christians. Sins are sin. They don't change once we're saved. They're just cleansed by the blood of Jesus like they were when we were redeemed. So God made us circumcision without hands, putting off our body of sins by the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. That we're buried with him, in verse 12, we're buried with him in baptism. Baptism is a symbol of the grave Christ went in. Wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. Not our operation, but the operation of God. So we're saved. We're buried in baptism, brought out to walk in the newness of life, joining unity with our Savior, becoming one with Christ. That can't be ripped apart. God wouldn't have done something that caused us to be ripped apart from his children, would he? Who had raised him from the dead. Just like we were raised through the water of your grave. Not that baptism has anything to do with our salvation. It's a symbol, isn't it? It's a symbol of what Christ went through. His death, burial, resurrection for our salvation. His blood was cleansed to wash our sins away. And God said, if we believe on him with all our hearts, we shall have eternal life. Not just that he's the Son of God, but he's our Savior. That he redeems us. We're going to get deeper in this redeemed. That he redeems us by his blood. Bought us. Paid for us. We're his. So I'll stand, get a song book.